The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Texas show.
Children all over the world love Eric, except for one 10-year-old girl named Ramona. She can't stand Eric, and she's not afraid to say so. Okay, I admit it. I am Ramona. I hate you, Eric. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Oh, yeah, and here you are. I mean, here he is, Eric Metaxas.
Yeah, I hate you too, Ramona. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas show. I'm continuing my conversation with Clifton Davis. Clifton, seriously, what a story. And now you come to the most dramatic, extraordinary thing. God comes into your life to pick up the broken pieces. I mean, you really were broken. It's amazing to hear you tell this. So you said that this friend comes down. He's opening windows.
My younger brother.
It was your younger brother.
Who happened to be a shrink, psychologist.
Okay.
And he spoke not a word to me. He just came in.
This is not the one that was on the phone with you.
Not the one who was on the phone praying.
That's another brother.
Another brother.
You got some good brothers.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And they're both still alive, thank God. And he didn't come in with, you know, psychoanalysis. He could have, but he didn't. He just sat down and started playing a hymn that he knew I knew, called Just As I Am, without one plea.
Now, you understand that... You mentioned Billy Graham. I mean, that's the Billy Graham song, right?
Yeah.
And sitting in the other room is the son of Billy Graham, Franklin Graham. That's how cool that your brother just opens the windows, lets the sunlight in, lets the breeze come in, and then he plays a hymn. I mean, that's beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Very wise.
Yes, very beautiful. And I'm not even kidding. The Bible blew open and landed on a page. And I looked down, and it said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. And I will praise you to the congregation, to the multitudes. So there not only was what I needed, but a purpose and a mission for my life all in one psalm. It was a wonderful thing to see, and it brought me all the way face-to-face with my Maker. And I gave my heart, my life to him. And I decided, though, I needed to get clean. So I went with my praying brother in Connecticut just to get away from Hollywood for a while, a couple of weeks. And while I was there, the phone rang, and I was invited to come to Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama, to speak to an event. And I said, you know, funny thing, you called. I wanted to go back to college. They said, you do? You want to come out? You want to leave the business and come back to college? I said, yes. They said, we can make that happen. So I got a full scholarship to Oakwood College in Alabama, and I majored in ministry. When that finished, I went on to grad school in Michigan. And on a full scholarship, I received a Master of Divinity degree. And just at the very end of that degree, when all my finals were just about done, I had decided not to sit for the final exams on exam day. I would write a paper for each class, which I did, 25 pages on each class.
Wow.
And that date was significant because I received a call from an old producer in Hollywood who found me and who said, would you come and screen test for Amen to play a minister on the date that I was supposed to be taking my final exams in grad school, but I was free. And so I went to Hollywood. I did the screen test. I became Reverend Reuben Gregory on Amen. And only God could orchestrate a life like that.
I mean, that's a fact. You know, when people listen to this story, you think, what do you make of that, folks? I mean, is there any possibility this is coincidence? I don't,
not
I don't
many.
Think so. No, it's ridiculous. It's
too many things.
It's amazing. Now, how many seasons were you in Amen?
5 years.
Okay, and that's it, that was in the middle 80s? I don't remember now.
End of the 80s to the early 90s.
Okay.
And I've been guest starring and working ever since.
Yeah,
let's see, this last year, what did I do? I did Blue Bloods. I did New Amsterdam on NBC. I did, what did I do? I did a show in Hollywood called I Think You Should Leave, a comedy. I guest starred on, I did Iron Fist. I recurred on that.
You recurred? That's very funny. I recurred. That's an acting term. I recurred on that.
I had 5 episodes
is
on that.
Right?
Yeah, I did. Madam Secretary, I did 45 episodes over 5 years.
45 episodes?
Yes.
That's a lot of episodes.
And I'm still working.
I was going to say, you're the workingest man I've ever met. It's pretty cool to see God's hand in your life and to hear this story. I think it gives hope to a lot of people because they're people that they're after success. You had more success than anybody could dream of early on. And then you realized that's not enough. I'm broken. I'm empty. I'm lost. And it's fascinating because I think that there's so many people that they think that success will fulfill. You know, it's the most natural thing. You think that's what's going to do it. I'm going to get money. I'm going to get fame or whatever. You had it in spades. I mean, I can't believe how much you had. I wasn't even aware of more than half of it. And you were completely broken.
Yes. I needed full redo or full makeover. And God did that. And over time, now I stumbled along the way.
Yeah.
You know, a marriage went awry. And I had to find my way, you know, just because you accept God in your life doesn't mean everything's rosy after that.
Correct.
In fact, the challenges sometimes increase. And so you have to be strong and stay focused.
Yeah.
And once I regained my focus, I supported my children. I got my life back together and I kept pressing forward, pressing towards the mark. And God put another wonderful human being in my life, my wife, Monica. And now we're celebrating our 20th anniversary.
Mm.
And God is merciful. She loves me. And I love her.
She's right over there.
And she's right
here. She doesn't need to be
here.
She obviously wants to be here.
Yep.
And that's a good sign. It's so wonderful. Now, right now, as we sit here, what are you working on these days? I know you said you've moved down to Florida. What are you working on professionally? What's going on?
Well, I've been flying back and forth finishing up the last season of Madam Secretary,
right,
where I played Ephraim Ware, the director of national intelligence. I'll be on next Sunday anyway. But the lovely thing is, in between, I left Broadway 4 years as the Sultan in Aladdin on Broadway while I was doing Madam Secretary. And just last week, I returned from 2 months in Seattle where I did a play called Austin's Pride. And Austin's Pride, I played Mr. Bennett. Of course, in Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice.
Aha!
It was a lovely piece, a new musical, which we're preparing for Broadway.
Bennett.
And I'm hoping that I'll receive a call very soon, which will tell us more about the future of this amazing musical.
Is that really?
Right.
A musical?
A musical.
Of Pride and Prejudice?
Pride and Prejudice. Lovely.
How tremendous.
Music.
Yeah. There are very few things that are like close to a sure thing in show business, but I think Jane Austen has such a huge following that you kind of think, why didn't somebody think of this earlier? I mean, what a brilliant idea.
They've been trying for a while. I hope that works this time.
What's it called again?
Austen's Pride.
And Austen is T-E-N, in case you're scoring at home.
Correct.
I have to tell you, Clifton Davis, I knew it would be fun to talk to you, but I didn't think it could be this much fun. It's just, and not just fun, but a deep, deep blessing. I would like to have you back as soon as possible just to keep talking, because you're just such a treasure trove
of stories, Eric.
And things, and a big blessing and a big encouragement to a lot of people out there. So we'll just say au revoir. I will see you soon, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with me and my audience. I'm just thrilled. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Eric.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. As you know, following Christ is a lifelong pursuit. It requires perseverance, and practice makes permanent. A new study Bible for today is the third edition of the Life Application Study Bible. Read by more than 20 million people, it's the best-selling study Bible in the world. The Life Application Study Bible is not a Bible for a season. It's not for a New Year's resolution. It's not just for hard times. It's a Bible for all times, with more than 10,000 newly updated and expanded notes, charts, maps, timelines, profiles, and more. The Life Application Study Bible is the most complete single-volume Bible ever compiled. It is just what you need to apply biblical teaching to your everyday life. As you train for the race God calls each of us to, the Life Application Study Bible is the companion and coach you need by your side every single step of the way. For who you were, who you are, and who God has called you to become for all times. Learn more at lifeapplication.com. That's lifeapplication.com.
Hello, neighbor.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Based on the true story of the friendship between Mr. Rogers and a cynical journalist.
You love broken people like me.
Sometimes we have to ask for help, and that's okay.
Starring Tom Hanks and Matthew Reeves, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters now. For tickets and showtimes, go to resources.abeautifulday.movie.
There is a battle being fought right here in America. The radical left is trying to silence anyone who disagrees with them. They want to shut you up.
I'm Dennis Prager. There's no more important issue facing America today. If we can't speak freely, we can't be heard.
But one film is fighting back. No Safe Spaces.
Every American should see this.
See No Safe Spaces, only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Go to nosafespaces.com for tickets.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. You've heard about our Solera infrared grills at BestHotGrill.com, but did you know we also make the best gas logs for your fireplace? You've probably seen Rasmussen gas logs and fireballs on TV and in the movies. We've got sizes to fit all fireplaces, styles to fit every decor, and we even do custom designs for large and unusual fireplaces. Lighting these logs is as easy as pushing a button. Realistic Rasmussen gas logs look great even when the fire is off. For regions prone to power outages, gas logs are an excellent source of emergency heat with no electricity required. We've been making them since the 50s, so you can buy a Rasmussen gas log with confidence. So go to besthotgrill.com to find the products you need to keep you warm inside and outside of your home while eating great grilled food. Learn more at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com.
Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. If you are a timeshare owner, getting out is probably a top priority. And now that annual maintenance fees are coming due, this ongoing burden and expense is at the top of your list. Thankfully, we can help. Let us do for you what we have done for thousands of others across the country. Our process is done legally, ethically, and quickly. Lone Star Transfer has a 99% success rate. and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. We are a family-owned business and will personally make sure your experience is a pleasant one. Don't let another day go by with maintenance fees taking your hard-earned money. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863. That's 844-284-4863. Or online at LoneStarTransfer.com. That's LoneStarTransfer.com.
Hey there, folks. What's even more fun than listening to the bumper music on this show? I think, for me at least, it's getting to talk to the guests that I have on this show. Sitting with me here is my friend Jay John. He has no last name. He's an evangelist. He speaks to zillions around the world and has been doing that for 39 years. And I love him. Jay John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric.
How do I begin with you? You're one of those people. You stymie me, sir. You're English. We can figure that out as soon as you start talking. But you've been evangelist for 39 years?
I have. And in fact, on September the 2nd, it will be 40 years.
What?
So I'm looking good, aren't I, Eric?
40 years.
I know.
Well, you were... Did you begin preaching in utero? How do you explain this?
Well, I came to faith as a student when I was in London. And I just started telling people about Jesus. I then went to seminary, and I've been in ministry ever since.
The problem I have, of course, is that I've interviewed you once before for Socrates in the City when I was in Oxford, in your neck of the woods. And the most delicious part of your story for me is that we're both Greek, and we know, well, a lot of people may have a Greek surname, but you and I know that world. We really know that world.
Yes,
we know
we
what it is to get whacked in the back of the head, thafas xilo. Like, we know
we do
that world. And when you tell your story, and I'd like you to tell it, of how your Greek family reacted when you did the most insane thing and accepted Jesus, it's sort of like you became a Turk. It's kind of fun. If Greek people listening will find this very funny, maybe it, for you it's painful, but I hope that it's long ago enough that it's at least somewhat funny. But before we get to your story, you have two books out. I just want to make sure people understand. You write many books. Now, you don't pastor a local church.
No, I don't. But my wife and I belong to a local church, but we travel extensively.
Do you tithe to the church?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness. Otherwise, I'd cast you into outer darkness. We'd have to take you outside the camp and stone you. Albin, that's biblical, right? Okay, so as long as we know that you tithe to a local church. In all seriousness, I can't stop joking with you because I love you and we kid around. But you have an amazing story. But I just want, before we leap into your amazing story, to tell me about this brand new book. Now, the title, it's pretty catchy. It's Jesus Christ, the Truth. That kind of sums it up, my friend.
Well, it does, because what I'm saying in the book is Jesus Christ is the truth, and here is the truth about Jesus Christ. And one of the things I find, Eric, as I travel extensively, I mean, I've been to 69 countries.
Does your wife know about this?
She does.
Yeah.
I would say that a lot of people's understanding of Christianity is a misunderstanding.
No question.
And that's why it's very important to be able to articulate and convey clearly and concisely, without any jargon, what is it that we do believe about Jesus, and why do we believe it?
Yeah.
And so what's interesting is, if I said to you, Eric, I've got a friend who's an inquirer, wants to know more about the Christian faith, has just read the New Testament, but he really now wants to get to grips with who is Jesus, what book would you give him?
You know something, no kidding, that's not an easy question to answer until today, ladies and gentlemen. But in all seriousness, oftentimes that's the stumbling block, because people say, read the Bible. And you think, don't you know what it is to read the Bible when you've not been raised around the Bible? It is a meaningless, confusing. I mean, you can get certain sentences make sense. Other entire books are impenetrable. You need someone to come alongside you.
Yes.
And so the question, what would you give them? I mean, I have written some books which I might give to some friends, but most people, the short answer is I don't know.
No, there aren't many, and that's why I wrote that, to explain who is Jesus, what's the evidence about Jesus, what did he say, why did he die, what's the evidence for the resurrection, and how can you know him without any jargon?
Without any jargon.
Yes.
That's important. Now, okay, so the title is Jesus Christ. Most people don't need to write that down. I think they may be able to remember that. Jesus Christ, The Truth by J. John and Chris Wally, who works with you. So you did this with Chris Wally. Now, you don't even put in a last name for yourself. You just go by J. John. It's like Charo or Cher.
Well, I'm Greek, as you said, and my name in Greek is Yannakis Ioannis.
Yannakis Ioannis?
Yes. And if you translate it, as you know, the literal translation of my Greek name is John, son of John.
So when John McJohn.
Well, John Johnson would be the literal.
John Johnson.
Yes.
Johnny Johnson, eh? Yeah. So can we just call you J. John?
You can.
Wow, I love it. Well, listen, you really do preach around the world to huge stadiums of people. And so when you say you're an evangelist, I mean, a lot of people, you know, sometimes I do evangelism, but to be an evangelist, to regularly speak to thousands of people about Jesus, there aren't so many people in the world who do that. Have you been doing that since the beginning of the of your ministry? Has this been exclusively what you've done?
Yes, it has been. And first of all, you're right about saying there aren't many people who are proclaimers. We're trying to communicate faith in different ways, but preaching, proclaiming has always been the thing. I started first with youth, then I did universities. I did 102 university missions around the world. And then I did churches, and then I did towns, and now I do cities and counties.
All right. Well, if people have seen my interview with you at Socrates in the City from 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was, in Oxford, they'll know some of this story. But I've got to get my radio audience up to speed on your story, because it delights me so much, being ethnically Greek. So if you don't mind, can you tell that story?
My journey of faith?
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in a Greek family, and to be Greek means you are Greek Orthodox. What's interesting, it's a bit like you can be an atheist, but you're still Jewish.
Well, I was just going to say it's exactly like that,
exactly,
right?
Like
when you're
that.
Greek, people don't even question. I mean, look, you can find this in Italy. People say, well, of course, I'm Catholic. Because they make it, or being Irish, I'm Catholic. And you start realizing it becomes a tribal identity. And it really has, in many cases, very little to do with what you believe or how you live your life. It's just that I'm Greek, so I'm Greek Orthodox. So you grew up in that world.
Yes.
And where? This is in England.
In London. And so culturally Greek. But no faith. We didn't practice the faith.
You didn't even go to church.
We went at Easter and we went at Christmas.
Okay, that means you didn't practice.
No.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I went to college. I was an agnostic.
What did you want to study when you were a young man?
I wanted to study psychology and medicine. So at college, I met a Christian. And I think he was the first Christian that I ever actually met, someone who was practicing their faith. He was Greek, too. Yeah, I know.
That's like two BBs meeting in midair across the Grand Canyon. Let me ask you, though, before you get into this, when you say you grew up in a Greek home, both your parents are Greek.
Yes, they are.
Did you speak Greek at home?
Yes.
See, that's
only spoke Greek.
Okay,
home.
Now this is people who know me. I've said this many times, but now I'm getting to prove it because I'm speaking to you. I say because my mother was German, grew up in Germany. My father grew up in Greece. They met in an English class in New York City. So when I was raised, they spoke English at home because my mother didn't speak Greek and my father didn't speak German. But whenever I was around Greeks at church, they all spoke Greek.
Yes.
At home. So you grew up, this was your first language.
Yes. Listen, and on a Sunday, I had a private Greek tutor so that I could take Greek exams. I mean, this is like, you know, I went to school Monday to Friday. I then had to work in the family business.
Of course, Greeks have to work in the family. What was your family business?
Restaurant.
Surprise.
So I was a waiter Friday night, all day Saturday, from the morning till the evening, got back at 1 a.m. Sunday, I'd have to have Greek lessons.
This sounds, I got to say, it sounds freakishly familiar to me. I mean, I know the world of Greeks, you know, in America and in other places like that. That's what we do. We work really hard. It's almost like being Greek is our hobby and our religion. It's the most important thing, hanging out with other Greeks, yeah. Family and all that kind of stuff. So you grew up in that world. You go away to university, as you put it. You meet a fellow Greek who is a born-again evangelical Jesus freak, as I put it.
Yes.
And what happens to you then?
Well, over a period of about a year, I was inspired by his faith, by his belief, and his behavior. And then he showed me eventually a verse from the last book of the Bible, Revelation 3, verse 20, where it has this picture of Jesus standing outside of a door knocking. And he reads this to me, and he says, "Have you heard Jesus knocking on your door?" And I said, "Well, I think so." He said, "Well, have you opened the door?" And I said, "Well, I don't know where the door is. Where's the door?" He said, "Don't worry about where the door is. Ask Jesus to break the door down."
Hold on. This is called in showbiz a cliffhanger, folks. We'll be right back with Canon J. John. Stick around. Folks, what would you do if I told you that there are people literally in slavery today in Sudan? It is true. There are radical Islamists who believe in slavery, who've enslaved people. I'm not going to give you the details here, but if you go to MetaxasTalk.com and click on the banner, you will see that you can do something about this. We ask you to go to MetaxasTalk.com. Do what you can. $250 enables a slave to be freed. Think about it. Give what you can. God bless you.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A man wearing a fake explosive vest stabbed several people in London in what police are treating as a terrorist attack. Police now say two people were killed in that stabbing near London Bridge that ended when the attacker was shot dead by police. Hundreds of Hong Kong pro-democracy activists rallied outside the British consulate, urging the city's former colonial ruler to emulate the U.S., and take action to support their cause as police ended a blockade of a university campus after 12 days. The rally comes a day after President Trump signed into law two bills to support democracy and human rights in the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. Workers at Amazon's distribution centers in Germany on strike for better pay on Black Friday. That's one of the busiest days of the year for the online retailer. The Dow finishing down 112 points, and the NASDAQ was off 39. This is SRN News.
Hello, neighbor.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Based on the true story of the friendship between Mr. Rogers and a cynical journalist.
You love broken people, like me.
Sometimes we have to ask for help, and that's okay.
Starring Tom Hanks and Matthew Rhys, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters now. For tickets and showtimes, go to resources.abeautifulday.movie.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. Over the last few months, my fellow Salem talk show hosts and I have been speaking across the country at the War for America's Soul Tour. Thousands of people have attended these sold-out events. We discuss the attacks against our Constitution, radical socialism, open borders, and other matters affecting the U.S. of A. You need to hear the truth about what's at stake ahead of our next election. You can now watch the events on demand or even buy the DVD. Just go to WatchSalemMedia.com. WatchSalemMedia.com. That's WatchSalemMedia.com.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to get your house ready for the winter so you can sit back and enjoy the holidays. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. So why wait? Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started on your next project.
Home Advisor.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Thank you.
this whole damn thing work out? With a little love, we can lay it down. Can't you feel
it? Hey there, folks. That's Paul McCartney. I saw him on the street the other day, and he said, I'm sorry, no selfies. Sir Paul, you owe me an apology, okay? I'm waiting. Right now, I'm speaking to somebody who owes me no apology. His name is Canon J. John. He's a friend. J. John, your story is so beautiful. Let's just continue the story. You're in college. Your Christian roommate, who is Greek, is asking you, has Jesus been knocking on your door? It's a very sly and interesting approach to be asking someone that question.
Yes. And when I said to him, I think so. And he said, have you opened the door? And I said, where is the door? He said, don't worry about where the door is. Just ask Jesus to break the door down. There was something beautiful about that, because that kind of worked with me. And I got down on my knees and I said, Jesus, if you are knocking on my door, can you break that door down? And as I said that prayer, that little simple prayer, the light came on. Something happened. The light came on. Something happened in my heart. I could feel it. And something happened in my mind.
My wife had a similar experience when she prayed the prayer. Some people said, do you want to accept Jesus? She was like, okay. And she prayed this prayer. And she said she felt something immediately happen. Now, many people don't experience that. I didn't experience anything quite like that. Where were you in terms of the faith before this? In other words, usually if somebody says, ask Jesus to break down your door, then maybe they're not ready or they've got questions. You somehow had been prepared for this.
Yeah, I think I was, and I think I understood that actually I'm not going to understand everything about God. If I could understand everything about God, he would be the same as my little mind. Therefore, he wouldn't be worth believing in. And it was only as I humbled myself and allowed God in that I would begin to understand things about God. And I think I got that prior to praying this prayer. And when I prayed the prayer, I think the light came on. My mother later said to me, you're brainwashed. And I said, Mother, my brain has been washed. If you only knew what was in my brain, you'd be pleased it got washed. And it really did get washed.
I just love the fact, because I've experienced it, that it, when you're hanging out with Greeks and you tell them I've accepted Jesus or whatever, they don't hear it as a good thing. Like, oh, good, you finally take your faith seriously, that you've been raised in and baptized in, and that, you know, because there's nothing in the Greek Orthodox theology that is contrary to accepting Jesus. On the contrary, that's what it's all about. But it's so funny because they're so culturally confused by it. It's as if you've become a non-Greek, or even worse, a Turk, or something that they don't want a Greek son to become.
Absolutely. And when I then went off to work with Mother Teresa in Calcutta, and
wait a minute.
Yeah, but this was really interesting.
What?
Because my parents, like, I thought, well, that's really impressive. I'm going to go and work with Mother Teresa.
It is impressive.
Yeah. But here's the point. My father, who's a businessman, he's like, well, how much are they paying you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, they don't pay you anything. And then my father said, you've lost it.
But it's very funny. As growing up in the Greek world, I remember I took a literary internship. This is not as impressive, really, but it paid nothing. Like, I was so thrilled that I'm getting the thing. And when I told my parents this, smoke may as well have come out of their ears. They just thought, what? Because their whole world revolves around making it, making a buck, working hard, struggling. You've come to a land of opportunity, whether it's England or whatever, that they've made this huge effort. And then to have their own flesh and blood say something as insane as, I'm working. Oh, and by the way, they're not paying me.
Absolutely.
Now, how old were you when you accepted Jesus?
I was 17.
You were in university very young.
College. Pre-college, before uni. Yeah.
Before uni.
Yeah.
See, we don't have that over here. But anyway, so you're 17. And how do you come to work for Mother Teresa? I don't quite get that.
Well, just through circumstances, I had the opportunity to go there. So that came up, and I went, and it was life-transforming. I spent 1 month with her and the Sisters of Charity. And I saw faith at work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
No.
And I saw that. I saw it. I was with them day and night.
That is such a beautiful aphorism. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That is a fact, and there's nothing worse, and we've all done it, where you start talking to people as though their questions are intellectual, when in fact they have deeper questions.
Absolutely, of course. And I came back inspired. I had a faith lift.
A faith lift?
Yes.
You've got a lot of these phrases tucked away, haven't you?
I think that's what we need.
Lift. I love that. A faith lift.
Well, I often, you know, that's what people need. I think people need to have their lives infused with faith, hope, and love. Do you know, last year I was speaking in Australia, and it was a Saturday night. And Killy and I were getting ready to go to sleep, and we heard fireworks, and we quickly opened the curtains, and we couldn't believe it. Just outside of our window were the fireworks, literally. And not only that, we were on floor 37, so we were above the fireworks.
Wait a minute, where was this?
This is in Sydney. And we were above the fireworks, and we could see them from above down. And as I was looking at that, I thought, that's how God sees. And what is it that we need? I think we need insight, foresight, and oversight.
Okay, I want you to break that down, because this sounds like a perfect sermon, mini sermon. When we come back, folks, I think you already know I'm talking to Canon J. John. The brand new book is called Jesus Christ, The Truth. Many other books. Stick around. Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Can I tell you about Relief Factor?
Please.
No, actually, I mean, can I tell you about it?
Okay, you may.
I may?
You may.
But what I'm trying to say is I've got somebody even better.
Oh.
Yes, I've got a guy named Alan who's been using Relief Factor. I'd like to hear what he has to say about Relief Factor. Here it is.
I've been in back pain since my early 20s. Now I'm 51. In my early 20s, I worked for the state prison. I got injured, and I was off work for about a year. I'm now a train engineer. I basically sit all day long. My wife making me take Relief Factor literally changed my life. I don't feel like I'm 20 again, but my back does.
Well, see, this is why I want, you know, I could talk about it all day long,
great,
but I'm telling you, so many people have been blessed by it. You go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. It's all botanicals. There's nothing dangerous about it. You can take it all day long, and you will know within 3 weeks if it works for you. And if it works for you, it will probably change your life. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. Now, over the last few months, my fellow Salem talk show host and I have been speaking across the country at the War for America Soul Tour. Thousands of people have attended these sold-out events in cities all across the United States. We talked candidly about the attacks against our Constitution, the push for radical socialism, open borders, and other issues affecting you and our country. Not everybody could get a ticket, so we filmed the event in Sacramento, California, and in Tampa, Florida. These were incredible nights with a few surprises. You can now watch the events on demand or even buy the DVD. The front row seat to watch me, Dennis Prager, Larry Elder, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, even Michelle Malkin. We discuss the critical issues that are at stake ahead of our next presidential election, and we give you the truth. To watch it now, go to watchsalemmedia.com. You'll be glad you did. That's watchsalemmedia.com. Again, for the Steelers fans, watchsalemmedia.com. And thank you.
Shopping online this holiday season? Finding the perfect gift from your computer, tablet, or smartphone is a breeze. Just a few taps, and you're done. But all that online shopping, it could expose your personal information and leave you potentially vulnerable to identity theft. And you may miss identity theft by just monitoring your credit, like someone selling your info on the dark web or taking an online payday loan in your name. Good thing there's LifeLock. They monitor your personal information, and if you have a problem with identity theft, they work to fix it. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock offers something that's perfect for the holidays and beyond, not having to worry if identity theft happens to you. Until December 8th, join and get a special radio discount. Save 30% or more off your first year by using promo code SMART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com and use promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART for 30% off or more.
Hey, folks, the team at MyPillow is grateful for you this holiday season, and they're so grateful they have an amazing offer. Buy one, get one free on their incredible sheet sets. Mike Lindell has come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. He finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. His new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and he guarantees they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. He says, the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. The Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can buy one, get one free by calling 800-978-3057 and use the promo code ERIC or Metaxas for a limited time. You can buy one, get one free, plus free shipping. Call 800-978-3057 or go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com, but make sure you use the promo code ERIC or Metaxas. ERIC or Metaxas, go for it. Hey there, folks. That's Casey and the Sunshine Band if you're scoring at home. I'm Eric Metaxas. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, and I'm talking to my friend Canon J. John. J. John, you just used three words, and I want you to unpack them as it were. You were just talking about getting a faith lift and how God sees us. Go ahead.
Okay, so I think we need insight, foresight, and oversight. Insight is like looking through a microscope when you look at the details.
Yes.
Foresight is like looking through a telescope where you see ahead. And oversight is like being in a helicopter looking down at your home. Okay. Why do we need those things? Well, because many of us are suffering from the Columbus syndrome. Columbus set off and he didn't know where he was going. When he got there, he didn't know where he was. When he got back, he didn't know where he'd been. And so we're very confused as to where we're going. Now, who has got insight, foresight, and oversight? Only God has. So when you allow God to come into your life, then you start having insight, foresight, and oversight. And the longer you remain with him and follow him, the more of that you're going to have.
That's so beautiful. I've experienced this personally. I know that when God came into my life in 1988, all of these things happened. It's a stunning thing to know that you're in the hands of the one who created the universe, who created you, who knows why he made you and where he wants to take you and what he's going to do. It's such a comfort, tremendous comfort. And also to know that he is real, that this is not some fantasy, but that he is real. And as that hymn says, he's proved it to me or. I mean, over the 30 years that I've been a Christian, I have seen this. So I can speak from my experience, and I know that you can and so many others, that this is real. This is not just an idea, but it actually is real.
Yeah, and it's real, and it works.
Yeah.
Many universities that I've spoken at over the years, you know, students will ask me all sorts of questions. But one interesting question I've been asked is, why are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Christian because it's true and because it works.
Well, it's funny because if it weren't true, there are some Christians that they're not so concerned with truth. And I want to say to them, listen, if you understood how true this is, that it is truth, it would help your faith, because you're a different kind of Christian when you know that this is truth, and that this is, in a way, it's almost more than truth, in the sense that when we think of truth, we think of it as some construct. We're talking about the one who is himself truth. Mind-blowing to take it in.
Absolutely.
And then there are some people that they can't believe that you could know truth. I was actually one of those people. I didn't believe that anyone could know what is truth, that the best you could do is take an agnostic position and say, I'm not sure, but I know that no one can really know. And then, of course, I came to the very unpleasant, uncomfortable place of knowing. Sure. And once you know, you're kind of embarrassed because your friends look at you like, oh, you've become one of those people and stuff. So we're talking about some strange things, aren't we?
We are. But we can honestly say that, and I can honestly say that, being a believer and a follower of Jesus has totally transformed my life. And I've experienced forgiveness from the past, new life today, and a hope for the future.
It's funny because these things, to somebody who's not on the right wavelength, these sound like cliches. But when you meet people who have genuinely experienced these things and you spend time around them, just as you did your roommate when you were 17 and I, a number of people, you realize, my goodness, it's really true and it's beautiful. But I think we live in a climate, especially in the West, I know in England and here in the U.S., where a lot of people are disinclined to swallow it. They sort of feel that it's better to be skeptical, usually until life hits them so hard that they're kind of forced to think about these things.
Sure. But I think, Eric, though, look, there are two reasons why people are not Christians today. One, they've never met a Christian. Two, they have met a Christian. You see, they're the two reasons why people are not Christians today. In other words, Christians can make the difference in someone else's life. And sadly, we have not always represented the founder in a good way. And recently, this guy said, he used to be a Christian and he's not a Christian anymore because he started criticizing what the church said and did. And I said, look, I said, medicine is good. And I said, is it good? He said, yes, it's good. I said, have there been mistakes made in the name of medicine? He said, yes, there have. I said, there have been huge mistakes made in the name of medicine. Years ago, there was a drug called thalidomide.
I was just going to bring that up. One of the most horrible things you can think of.
Yeah, and that was a big mistake. Now, but because of all these mistakes, we don't throw out the whole of medicine.
Yeah.
Right? Look, there have been mistakes. And some of Jesus's followers have not always represented him very well. But the founder of Jesus Christ has never been a hypocrite, hypocritical. And you can trust him despite some of his followers.
Well, that's the key. And I think if you do become a Christian at some point, even as a Christian, God makes that real in the sense that people disappoint you who claim to be very serious about their faith. And maybe they are serious about their faith, but you begin to see they're not the same as he is. And then you're forced to lean on him the more, which, of course, is very healthy and very correct and appropriate. But it is interesting because, as you said, that has been one of the principal things that people say about why they don't accept faith because of all this hypocrisy. And when I think of it, I often have said the same thing about science, not medicine. Medicine's a better example. But it's kind of like saying, like, I met this scientist who was an idiot and a hypocrite and he couldn't even add, and so science is stupid, you know. Yeah. And you think, well, that's really not the way to do it. The question is this true? Does it work? Just because its
Absolutely.
Proponents have been fools sometimes and have been flawed human beings.
Yeah.
Dr. Yeah. Mengele was a doctor. So
sure.
You don't say medicine is evil.
No.
But I do find that that's often the case with the Christian faith.
And I think also, Eric, you know, again, it's being clear on what Christianity says and teaches. So, for example, if we take the question, ask this question, do all religions lead to God? Okay, let me answer that question. No. Why? Here's the answer. Because only one religion teaches that, and that is Christianity. No other religion teaches that.
We're gonna have to pause. I want to hear the rest of this when we come back. Folks, it's my privilege to have my friend Jay John on the program. Stick around.
Hello, Nathan.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Based on the true story of the friendship between Mr. Rogers and a cynical journalist.
You love broken people, like me.
Sometimes we have to ask for help, and that's okay.
Starring Tom Hanks and Matthew Reese, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters now. For tickets and showtimes, go to resources.abeautifulday.movie.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. Over the last few months, my fellow Salem talk show hosts and I have been speaking across the country at the War for America's Soul Tour. Thousands of people have attended these sold-out events. We discuss the attacks against our Constitution, radical socialism, open borders, and other matters affecting the U.S. of A. You need to hear the truth about what's at stake ahead of our next election. You can now watch the events on demand or even buy the DVD. Just go to WatchSalemMedia.com. WatchSalemMedia.com. That's WatchSalemMedia.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A man wearing a fake explosive vest stabbed several people in London in what police are treating as a terrorist attack before being tackled by members of the public and then fatally shot by officers on London Bridge. In a British press pool interview, Prime Minister Boris Johnson says the attack appears to have been contained, but police continue to investigate.
I can assure you and assure everyone that anybody involved in this crime, in these attacks, will be hunted down and will be brought to justice.
Two of the stabbing victims have died. Dutch police say three people injured in a stabbing on The Hague's main shopping street. Police say it's still too early to say whether there was a terror motive behind the attacks in the Dutch city. A suspect is being sought. A shortened day on Wall Street. Stocks finishing in the red. The Dow off 112 points. The NASDAQ down 39. This is SRN News.
Bastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
This Black Friday, start with Lowe's and start early because the first 300 people in every Lowe's store Black Friday morning will have a chance to win a $500 Lowe's gift card and a chance to win a trip to Super Bowl 54. All 300 also get a coupon for $10 off a $50 purchase. Good luck. And remember, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's, the official home improvement partner of the NFL. One gift card winner per store, one trip winner across all Lowe's stores. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes entry. Coupon valid on in-store purchase 11/29. Exclusions apply. U.S. only.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Canon J. John, my friend. We just got a few minutes in this hour, but will you hang around and we can do a second hour, please, please?
Absolutely, Eric.
Killy, is that all right with you? We've got to, because there's so much I want to ask you. We've just got a few minutes left in this segment. Well, you were just making a point, so let's fill that out just as we go out.
So the point I was making, Eric, was, again, this goes back to people's understanding of Christianity, which is a misunderstanding. So that very important question, do all religions lead to God? The answer is no. Why? Because only one religion teaches that. All other religions, they don't teach that you can get to God. Only Christianity does.
That's now, what do you mean by that? In other words, I would assume that if you talk to a Muslim, he would say, my faith leads to God. It's the only way to God. What do you say? What do you mean?
No, it doesn't actually, Eric.
Go ahead.
No, because they teach that you can go to paradise, but Allah does not live in paradise.
What? Where does he live?
Well, he doesn't live there.
Are you kidding?
I have never heard this. So this is where what we're trying to do is just put the facts right, communicate the truth so that people can make a decision.
I love this. This is why it's fun to talk to evangelists. They know these things. Okay, so when you say only the Christian faith teaches that we can get to God, what you're saying is that at the center of the Christian faith is this really rather beautiful idea that God wants us to be united with him. It's not getting something from him like heaven, but it's being united with him because he loves us and he wants us to be with him. And that's unique to the Christian faith.
It is unique to any faith. And the claim that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life is the heart and message of Christianity.
I think this is why a lot of times people don't want to know too much, because once you start hearing this, it becomes to some people, unfortunately, rather clear. And they'd rather just have a vague idea that, well, if you're a good person and everybody, blah, 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 but they don't know that there's something unique and beautiful about the Christian faith. And I do think some people are almost afraid of it because they maybe have an inner sense that it might be true. And so I'll keep things at a kind of a vague distance.
Sadly, yes. And I'm saying, like you are, Eric, that when you encounter Jesus, it's transforming. It is renewing. It gives you fulfillment. And I'm a Christian, and I try to follow Jesus, and I try to live my life with Christian values and principles and be a channel of that to other people. And I've been a Christian since 1975, and it's wonderful.
Well, I can corroborate that because I feel like if you really believe what the Bible says and what God says, you have tremendous hope. When people say negative things, you know that it's nonsense, that no, God is renewing me every day. It's in effect as though I'm becoming younger every day. I'm becoming better every day. Like, these are facts when you walk with Jesus. And so this idea that, oh, I'm just, things are breaking down or whatever. Like, on the one hand, that's true. But on the other hand, it really is a lie that God wants us to walk with him in such a way that we are becoming transformed in a very real, beautiful way. And I do think it's the case that many people, they don't believe that that's possible. And so I just want to thank you for putting that out there. We're out of time in this hour, but we're not going to let you leave. We're going to keep you for a second hour. I want to talk about your books. I want to talk about this wonderful children's book, That's a Good Question. So we're going to have more fun. In the meantime, J. John, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Eric.
Just all right.